So, on that happy note, here we are on the beach. So, we're not really on the beach. This is just a backdrop of Fiji. And I am back in North Carolina. I am not in Fiji. And we're going to chant. And we'll have the class in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Too loud. Hold on a second. Just have this new setup here. Okay, it's going to readjust. Right. Let me just check one thing. I forgot. It's been a month since we did this. Make sure we're online. Yeah, it's working. Jai Ranamadama. Jai Kundaliyadi. Vijanapa. Vodka! Shivad, his divine grace, Avaya Chatanad, Bhakti Banandat, Gosami Srila Prabhupada Kijai, Iskan Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Kijai, Anandakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Kijai, Namacharya Srila Kavidas Thakur Kijai, Prem Seikaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda Shidwaita Garadha, Shiva Siddhi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Gajai Shri Shri Radhakrishna Gopi Gopinath Sayam Kunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Gajai Vrindavanam Gajai Maturidam Gajai Jagannatha Swami Gajai Yamunamai Gajai Srimati Kalasi Devi Gajai Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Gajai Gaur Premananda Hanibal All glorious the assembled devotees. All glorious the assembled devotees, all glorious the assembled devotees, all glorious to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Kichai. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Buddhale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Namini. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharni Nevishesha Sunyavadi Paschacha Deja Tarni Srila Prabhupada Kichai. So we're going to get started with the Chaitanya Charitamrita in a second. I thought you'd all appreciate this backdrop. I thought it'd be a lot better than being in the Matrix. For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, it's a lot better. This is the virtual reality, and I thought it'd be a lot better than being in ignorance. So I thought it'd be a lot better, so more lively. Okay, so we're going to continue with our class of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's good to see everybody. So, for the first time in a month, wow, got quite a few people, considering I haven't been doing this for about a month. Okay, so, Omagana Timidandasha Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshur Unmeditam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with a torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So we're going to go on to the Chaitanya Charitamrita and leave off, or start up, where we left off. So, with that in mind, let's share the screen. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jayana Chananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jayana Chananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jayana Chananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So, this is text 253 we're starting from on the 20th, in the 20th chapter of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, and he's about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructing Sanatan Goswami about the principles and practices of devotional service. So, let's go. Okay. Icha Shakti. Icha means his will, actually. Pradana Krishna. Icha Sarva Karta. Jnana Shakti Pradana Vasudeva Arishtata. The predominator of the willing potency, that's the will, is Lord Krishna. For by his supreme will, everything comes into existence. In willing, there is a need for knowledge, and that knowledge is expressed through Vasudeva. Because Vasudeva means Krishna, who is everywhere. As Krishna says in the Gita, Vasudevam Sarvamiti Samahatma Sudurlabha. So, Icha Shakti. Icha Shakti means basically he gets what he wants. When he wants something, his potency causes everything to come into existence. That is because his energies are first class servants. Not like our servants, they're 10th class, but anyway. Krishna's servants are first class, they know what he wants, and they give it to him immediatamente, without him asking. Wow. And most of us, we don't get what we want, not only immediatamente, but we have to ask for it, and we still don't get what we want. That's 10th class. Second class is you got to ask for it, you can get what you want, and a good attitude. Third class is you ask for it, and bad attitude, but you get what you want. And 10th class, you don't even get what you want, and it's bad attitude simultaneously. Icha jnana kriya bina nahaya srijana tinaratina shakti meli purpancha rachana. There's no possibility of creation without thinking, feeling, willing, knowledge, and activity. The combination of the supreme will, knowledge, and action brings about the cosmic manifestation. So we're talking about Krishna here. Krishna wants it to happen, he thinks about it, and it happens. And he has full knowledge, and the activity occurs. And he still remains in Goloka Vrindavan, enjoying himself while all this stuff is happening. Wow. It's just like, example, let's say you were in charge of something, and you just wanted it to happen, and you were just on vacation all the time. It doesn't happen like that to me. Even in Fiji, I wasn't on vacation. Things didn't happen, and a lot of people didn't listen. Kriya Shakti Pranana Sankarsana Balorama Prakata Prakata Shristi Karena Nirmana. Lord Sankarsan, that's Balaram, is Lord Balaram, being predominator of the creative energy, he creates both the material and spiritual world. Hmm. So Balaram is in charge of the sat potency, the existential potency of the Lord. And of course, Balaram is not different than Krishna. As an expansion of Krishna, he's still the same as Krishna, but just for pastime's sake. Ahankarera dishtata krishnari chaya kaloka vaikuntha srije chit shakti dvaraya. That original Sankarsan, Lord Balaram, is the cause of both the material and the spiritual creation. He is the predominating deity of egotism, and by the will of Krishna and the power of the spiritual energy, creates the spiritual world, which consists of the planet Goloka Vrindavan and the Vaikuntha planets. So when we're talking about creating, it's not exactly like we think about creation in this material world. It's not that at some particular time, Goloka Vrindavan was created. It's eternally there, eternally existent, and it's maintained, created. Yeah, you can use the word created, but not actually created. If I could, the planets are not actually created. They're always there, eternal. So, I would tell you that he manifests it, okay? Is in charge of it. That's the best way to put it. Yadyapi asrija nitya chichakti vilasa tathavi sankarsana chaya tahara vakasha. Although there's no question of creation as far... This is exactly what I said. Wow, I must be right. Although there's no question of creation as far as the spiritual world is concerned, the spiritual world is nonetheless manifested by the supreme will of Sankarsan. In other words, it's manifest and it is manifest. Manifested, it's manifest, it's always manifest by the will of Sankarsan. The spiritual world is the abode of the pastimes of the eternal spiritual energy. material world is sometimes manifest and sometimes not manifest. Sahasra patram kamalam gokulatyam mahatpadam dakarnikaram tatama tat anantam shasambhavam. Gokula, the supreme abode and planet, appears like a lotus flower that has 1,000 petals. The whorl of that lotus is the abode of the Supreme Lord Krishna. This lotus-shaped supreme abode is created by the will of Lord Ananta. Ananta is another name of Balaram. It's another name of Shesha. First expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we talk about created, it's always there. And it's like a lotus, but it's a multi-dimensional lotus. In this world, all we see, well, we see lotuses, three-dimensional lotus, beautiful colors. It's actually the most beautiful flower. And Fiji, you can see some of them sometimes. Most beautiful flower, and it's three dimensions, but in the spiritual world, it's more dimensional. This verse is quoted from the Brahma Samhita 5.2. Maya dware shri jeteno brahmana brahmandera gana jara rupa prakati nahi brahmanda karana. By the agency of the material energy, this same Lord Sankarsana creates all the universes. The dull material energy known in modern languages, nature, is not the cause of the material universe. Now here's a very, very important philosophical point being made here. The atheist scientists, or those who deny the existence of God, say that nature is the cause of nature. Nature is eternal, and it causes itself. It's just the interaction or chance interaction or whatever interaction that causes everything to happen. And Krishna talks about this in the Bhagavad Gita. They say that everything happens because of anything. They use the word sex desire, which is really interesting. Because if you take this in a larger context, let's say survival and reproduction, you know, so actually it means that basically it's similar to the concept that Darwin has, the concept of survival of the fittest and the fittest reproduce. So everything is based on reproduction, basically. That's the same thing Krishna says. Because some living entities, they reproduce by different means. An amoeba reproduces by splitting. Trees reproduce by seeds, and the seeds, of course, have to be fertilized in most cases. And some trees can fertilize their own seeds, etc. But for many trees and plants and everything like that, you need bees to do the fertilization work, or bugs. Jadahaite, or birds. Jadahaite shristinahe shvara shaktivane dahaite sankarshanakare shaktiraha tane. Without the Supreme Personality of Godhead's energy, dull matter cannot create a cosmic manifestation. Its power does not arise from the material energy itself, but is endowed by sankarshana. So the material energy, let me unpack this. The material energy exists even when the material world is not there. But it exists in a potential state which is called the pradana. It's like, let me give an example. It's like a lump of clay. Unless you got a little kid who's going to take the clay out and shape it and make something with it. When I was young, we used to play with this type of clay called silly putty. It's quite nice, actually. You can make everything out of it you want it, and then you just pack it away when you're finished in a little like egg-shaped container. So that's the point. The silly putty by itself, even if it falls to the ground, is not going to make anything interesting except for a blob. So the material energy in its nascent state, which is basically the potential state, is like a blob. So when the Lord looks at the material energy, Sankarsana, then the material energy takes a particular shape. So that's really interesting. So the material energy by itself doesn't have the ability to do any damn thing. But it requires the injection of the spiritual potency, that is the Lord and the living entities who are injected simultaneously. Ishvara shakte srishti kariye prakriti lohate yena agni shakje poyadaha shakti. Dull matter alone cannot create anything. It's like if you have a piece of clay, all right, create by yourself, by chance. Clay is not going to make even a human figure by chance. If you just put it there, what do you think is going to start interacting with itself? I mean, I know you may have seen so many science fiction pictures where the clay, the blob, comes and does things, but clay's just going to sit in that place. So matter cannot create anything. The material energy produces the creation by the power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Iron itself has no power to burn, but when iron is placed in fire, it is empowered to burn. Very good example. You have iron or a piece of metal. Let's see what the actual Sanskrit word for that is. Power of Agni Shakti. Lohya. Loha. Like metal. It burns when you put it in fire. Otherwise, it doesn't burn anything. It doesn't make anything. Etahi Vishvasacha Bijajuni Ramo Mukunda Purusha Pradhanam Anviabhuteshu Vilakshanasha Janasha Cheshat Imao Puranao. Balaram and Krishna are the original, efficient, and material cause of the material world. As Mahavishnu and the material energy, they enter into the material elements and create the diversities by multi-energies. Thus, they are the cause of all causes. So let me explain what efficient and material cause. Material cause is basically the ingredients. That's material cause. I'm outlining it right now. And efficient means the consciousness that causes the ingredients to take shape. The clay is the material cause, and a little kid is the one who shapes the clay. That's the efficient cause. Very easy to understand. And Krishna expands as Mahavishnu to do all this stuff. This verse is quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam 10:46-31. Shristi hetu ye murti prapanche avatare Seishwaramurti avatara namatare. The form of the Lord is, that descends into the material world to create is called an avatara or incarnation. So, avatara. Okay? Tara means to cross. Ava means down. So, crossing down. And also you have the word tirtha, which means a bridge or a crossing place to cross up. So we go to a tirtha to cross up, and the avatars come down to this world to help us. Mayatita parvyome sabaravastana vishve avataridare avataranama. All the expansions of Lord Krishna are actually residents of the spiritual world. But when they descend into the material world, they're called incarnations or avatars. Now the word incarnation could basically mean they manifest a form in this world. Now technically the word incarnate means to take a body. But they don't actually take a body because Krishna says avyatma a bhutanam ishvarapisham prakritim swamadistaya sambhavami atmamaya. That I come in my original transcendental form. So Krishna doesn't take a body. So the word incarnation, let's say the direct literal translation of the word incarnation is not that the best word, but in the context in which we have this word incarnation now, it basically means to take a to actually appear in a form in this world. How about that? And I like the word avatara better, because it means to descend, coming down to this world. Because it doesn't mean to take a form. The Lord doesn't take a form or give up a form. Say Maya Valokite Shri Shankar Shanapur Sharupe Avatirna Haila Pratama. To glance over that material energy and empower Lord Sankarshan first incarnates as Lord Mahavishnu. So, as we described before, Mahavishnu looks at the pradana, the clay, the unmanifested material energy, and that glance is an impregnating glance. And that glance is personified as Shambhu, or Lord Shiva. Because Lord Sankarshan, as Lord Mahavishnu, never directly touches the material creation. He does this with remote control. Just like, where's my remote control? So here's a remote control. Of course, you can't see it too well. So remote control. Here's a remote control. So there's, I am able to manifest things, turn on my air conditioner or turn on the television, the screen, whatever, through remote control. So Lord Sankarshan, as Lord Mahavishnu, has a remote control, and that's his glance. He doesn't need a separate device like this. He doesn't need to push any buttons. But his glance actually is his remote control. And through that glance, the glance is a person. Wow, that's pretty interesting. His glance is a person. My glance is not a person. Because if looks could kill, a lot of people would be dead. So my glance is not a person. My glance is just a glance. But his glance is a person, and that's Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva has a good time with the material energy and impregnates everybody within the material energy. And also, through that glance, the Lord enters the material energy as the Garbhadakshaya Vishnu and the Shurudakshaya Vishnu. Jagrahe Purusham Rupam Bhagavan Mahadadibihi Sambhutam Surashakalam Adaloka Sashrikshya. In the beginning of the creation, the Lord expanded himself in the form of the Purusha incarnation. Purusha incarnation refers to Mahavishnu and Garbhadakshaya Vishnu and Shurudakshaya Vishnu. There's three Purusha incarnations. Remember, there's three. Mahavishnu, who looks at the material energy, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, enters into the material, each universe, sorry. And then the Shurudakshaya Vishnu, who actually has his own little place in the material world, on the shore of the ocean of milk, and he also is in everyone's heart. And if you open up your chest, you will see him. No, you won't. Don't try it. You're not Hanuman. So, expand himself as a Purusha incarnation, accompanied by all the ingredients of material creation. That's the material cause, the clay. First, he created the 16 principal energies suitable for creation. This was for the purpose of manifesting the material universe. So, he has different energies that come from the original pradana. This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 131 for an explanation referred to Adi Lila, chapter 5, verse 84. Adyo Vatara Purusho Purasha Kalasambhava Swabhava Sadasan Manascha Dravyam Vikaro Guna Indriyani Viratsvaratshtashnu Charishnu Bhumnaha. Karandakshaya Vishnu, Mahavishnu, is the first incarnation of the Supreme Lord, and he is the master of eternal time, space, cause and effects, the mind, the elements, the material ego, the modes of nature, the senses, the universal form of the Lord, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, and the sum total of all living beings, both moving and non-moving. So, in other words, Karandakshaya Vishnu, which is the Mahavishnu, expands as all these things. He expands and causes the material energy to manifest time, because before that, there's no time. There was nobody had to have a watch. And there was no space. The space is a material energy. It's one of the Ashtada, one of the eightfold material energies. It's called ether. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. And cause and effect is within this world. These are all material concepts. And of course, there's spiritual cause and effects, but there's the mind, the spiritual mind too, and the elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, false ego. The material ego. Material ego means I and mine. The spiritual ego means, I belong to Krishna, and everything belongs to Krishna. Not only me, but everyone. So that's spiritual ego. And I am meant to serve Krishna. Material ego is, I am meant to serve myself, and everybody else is an instrument of my enjoyment. If I see someone else, I want to enjoy them. It's a dog's consciousness. Right? If a dog sees another dog, then the dog even wants to enjoy the other dog. It happens to be a certain gender dog. That sounds like a superhero dog. Gender dog. Anyway, it happens to be of a certain gender. The dog is not thinking of the happiness of another dog. The dog is simply thinking of its own impulses and satisfying its senses, and who cares what the other dog has to experience. So the dog, or the dog is very territorial, or the dog is interested in food, very self-centered. So, in other words, under the material ego, the people in this world act like dogs. If you don't believe what I'm saying, just go to some modern university and see the dogs. Or wolves. I think it's one university that I interact with people at, the students are called, or the team or whatever, it's called the Wolf Pack. And there's another one called the Rat Pack. Not this university. And there's another university with called the Alligators. Can you imagine that? Who are you? I'm one of the Alligators. I'm one of the wolves. They're actually just revealing who they are. It's really interesting. Okay. The modes of nature, that means the three modes of nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance. Senses means, you know, the smell, the touch, etc. And the universal form of the Lord, basically, it's a little more complicated. That means everything is part of the body of the Lord. Garbhadakshini Vishnu and the sum total. Garbhadakshini Vishnu is the Vishnu within each universe, and then all the living entities, moving and non-moving. Non-moving living entities means like trees, they don't generally move too much. Moving means like you and me. This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 2.6.42, an explanation, refer to Adi Leela chapter 5, verse 83. Se purusha viraja te karena shayana karana dakshai nama jagat karana. That original personality of Godhead named Sankarshan first lies down in the river Viraja, which is the causal ocean, which serves as a border between the material and spiritual world. Now, it's not just the material river, you know, like water, like we have here. It's actually a very far more subtle substance. So, but because we have to have something we can relate to and we can't really understand it, it's described in terms that we can relate to, but it's really quite a bit different from what you would experience in this world. I mean, dimensionally opposed. It's a border between the material and spiritual worlds. Let me cross that border. You got to get a passport to cross the border. As Karana Dakshaya Vishnu, that's Mahavishnu again, he's the original cause of the material creation. He's the efficient cause and the material cause. Karanabdi pare mayara nityavastiti virajara pare padavyome nahi gati. The viraja causal ocean is the border between the spiritual and material world. And its material energy is situated on the shore of that ocean, and it cannot enter onto the other shore, which is the spiritual sky. So there's a barrier there. You can't go, or you can't take things from one place to another. Pravartite yatra rajas tamas tayo satvam cha mishram cha nacha kala vikrama yatra maya kim utare harer anuvrata yatra sura sura chitaha. In the spiritual world, there is neither the mode of passion, the mode of ignorance, nor a mixture of both, nor is there unadulterated goodness. In the spiritual world, there is neither the mode of passion, the mode of ignorance, nor a mixture of both, nor is there adulterated goodness. The influence of time or Maya herself. So the mode of passion means I want more and more and more and more. Mode of ignorance means I just want to blah. Get drunk or whatever. It's just the modes of nature. And when you see someone getting drunk, that's ignorance. That's right. If you see someone who wants more and more and more and more, that's passion. And there's mixtures of both. Sometimes you want to get more, you're drinking at the same time in a business meeting. Nor is there adulterated goodness. Adulterated goodness means basically I'm enjoying the mode of goodness, but not with a connection to Krishna. Oh, it's so nice. Just like sometimes I get people send me pictures of the beach. I'm on the beach. It's so nice enjoying the waves and the beauty and everything like that. I actually even recorded the waves. I should play it for you. I liked the waves so much when I was there. Hold on a second. I will play you all something. Here we go. Alright. I think this is the waves. Yeah. The Waves by Veer Krishna Goswami. So there I was enjoying the waves of material energy. Oh, the nice sound of the waves. Even I took the trouble to record it. Well, the reason I want to record it is because it actually makes it very soothing, like for resting at night or something like that. So if someone has apnea, they can just play it at night and take rest. This is a high quality recording, which you couldn't hear. So that means you're just trying to enjoy the waves, just like someone just sent me a message. By hearing the waves, it makes him homesick. But that's illusion. Because where's our home? When I see Radha and Krishna, it makes me homesick. Because that's my home. Oh, Prabhupada said the sound of the Krishna waves is the sound of a gopi's heartbeat in separation from Krishna. That's actually good. It's very poetic. It's not exactly the sound, but it's actually a poetic way of how a pure devotee would hear the waves. I was not hearing it like that. So anyway, so we hear the waves. Oh, makes me want to enjoy. It doesn't make me want to think of the gopis. It makes me want to, but actually for someone like Prabhupada, it makes the, Prabhupada hears the gopis when he walks on the beach. And I just hear the soothing of the waves, and someone else says it makes them homesick. But little did they realize that when they were home, they were in misery. And now they're in misery. So wherever they go, they're in misery. So that's the material energy. We think we adjust something or change something, we can get rid of the misery. It's not like that. It's all illusion. I mean, yes, if you get into the mode of ignorance and passion, or especially ignorance, you forget how miserable you are. And like a stone. Okay. So enough criticism of the Vaishnavas. The influence of time or Maya herself. So there's no time there, because time destroys things in this world, and Maya means the illusion. Of course, there's Yoga Maya there, which helps with Krishna's pastimes. But there's the illusion that I am this body, I am Sanyasi, I am Guru Maharaj. Only the pure devotees of the Lord who are worshipped by both demigods and by demons reside in the spiritual world as the Lord's associates. That's interesting. Why would the demons worship the pure devotees of the Lord? Because in the spiritual, in the higher realms of even this material universe, the demons actually appreciate Krishna. They're not just like Rakshasas, but they're just like demons who are fighting the demigods, and it's a very chivalrous relationship. So they appreciate those who are in the spiritual world. Interesting. This verse is from the Srimad Bhagavatam 2.9.10, was spoken by Śrīla Śukadeva Goswami, who was answering the question of Pariksit Maharaj, who asked how the living entity falls down in the material world. Śukadeva Goswami explained the cream of Srimad Bhagavatam in four verses, which had been explained to Lord Brahma at the end of the severe austerities he performed for 1,000 years. At that time, Brahma was shown the spiritual world and its transcendental nature. So we fall down from the material, spiritual world into the material world because we wanted to be the center. But maybe because of the false ego, which is what I actually mentioned up there. Let's go up there. The spiritual world is neither the mode of passion, the mode of ignorance, nor the mixture of others, adultery, good influence. Anyway, that's in the previous verse, the false ego was mentioned. So the false ego means, I am center. In the spiritual world, Krishna is the center. And if Krishna is the center, that upsets us quite a bit, because we are upset. We want to be the center. Hey, what about me? Who's that Krishna guy? I mean, he's got so many gopis. You know, just, he's not even sharing them with me. You know, that's... One has to simply want to please the senses of Krishna to stay in the spiritual world. Otherwise, I mean, why are you there? Because that's all that's going on there, just pleasing Krishna's senses and doing whatever you can to serve Krishna and Radha. Mayaratye dvivrati, mayara pradana maya nipatike tu vishvera upadana pradana. Maya has two functions. One is called maya, and the other word is called pradana. Maya refers to the efficient cause, and pradana refers to the ingredients that create the cosmic manifestation. So that's just another way of looking at the same thing we just discussed. Maya, of course, the word Maya means energy. In this particular context, it means the material energy. The material energy has two causes, the ingredients itself, the clay, and the activity or the efficient cause, which is actually Durga, as Krishna glances at the material energy. In one sense, Krishna's glance is the efficient cause, but actually that cause becomes manifested as a further efficient cause in terms of the variety that manifests within the material energy. And that Variety is termed Durga, which is personal. For further explanation, see Adi Lila, chapter 5, verse 58. Se purushamaya pane kare avadana prakritik shobita kare kare vi yera adana. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead glances over the material energy, she becomes agitated. Because that's Durga. Because agitated, and she associates with Shiva. At that time, the Lord injects the original semen of the living entities. And that original semen is Lord Shiva. That's why he had the Shiva Linga. In the Bhagavad Gita 7:10, Krishna says, Bijam Mam Sarvabhutanam. I am the original seed of all existences. This is also confirmed in another verse in Bhagavad Gita 14:4. Sabriyoni Shikontiya Murtiya Sambhavantiya Tasam Brahma Mahadyoni Raham Bijapadapita. It should be understood that all species of life, O son of Kunti, are made possible by birth in this material nature, and that I am the seed giving father. The seed means he looks. Krishna can impregnate with any part of his body, especially his glands, and that impregnation is called Shambhu. For further explanation, one may refer to the Brahma Samhita 5:10-13. Brahma Samhita also states 5:51, Agnir Mahi Ganganam Ambu Marudishascha Kalastatma Madasiti Jagatriyani Yasmat Bhavanti Bibhavanti Vashanti Hamcha Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. All material elements as well as the spiritual sparks, that's us, buddy, individual souls, are emanating from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is confirmed with the Vedanta Sutra 112, Janmadhyasya Yataha, and also, which is the same as Srimad Bhagavatam 111. The absolute truth is he from whom everything emanates. He is the supreme truth, Satcham Param Dhimahi. The absolute ultimate truth is Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Janmadhyasya Yataha. The absolute truth is a person who is directly and indirectly cognizant of the entire cosmic manifestation, and also he's Swarat, he's independent, he gets what he wants. The absolute truth, the personality of Godhead, educated Lord Brahma from the heart, Bhagavatam 111, Tene Brahma Ya Adi Kavye, the original Kavi, or intelligent person, was educated in the heart. Therefore, the absolute truth cannot be dull matter. The absolute truth must be the Supreme Person Himself, say Purusha Maya Pane Kari Avadana. Simply by His glance, material nature is impregnated with all living entities according to their karma, fruit, and fruit of activity. They emerge in different bodies. That is the explanation given by the Bhagavad Gita 2:13. The announcement, second chapter. Yata Dehe Kopanam Yavanam Jara Tata Dihantaras Praptir. Dearest Tatra Namuyati, as the embodied soul continuously passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age, don't remind me of it. The soul similarly passes into another body at death. A sober person is not bewildered by such a change. I think everybody knows that. You're going to change, even though you think, I am young, I have my whole life ahead of me. Bliss. But one day you will have an old body and your whole life will be behind you. Get ready. Okay. So on that happy note, now that you're all really depressed, hold on a second. So we did 253 to 272 today. Okay. We are going to take some questions. Let me stop sharing. It's nice to have so many people after so long not being having the glass. Okay, let me unmute you all. Okay, you can unmute yourselves or ask questions or raise your little hands if you like. All right, someone. Okay, Manava, you have a question.
Hare Krishna Dandavat Maharaj, good seeing you.
Nice to see you.
Wonderful, we missed you for a long time.
Well, you just saw me yesterday.
Yes, but we have been missing you for a long, long time.
Okay. Yes, better to see me. It's better to see me online than to see me in person.
Yes, sometimes in person is also very important. Yeah. But anyway, my question is, you were describing today, we were reading about that the Sankarsan lying down on the river Viraja, which is such a border between material and spiritual world. So it may be little humor or joke, but anyway, we have border with Canada, we have border with Mexico. So those who live near border, easy to go in the other country. So can we do there also?
That's interesting. No. No, because actually each and every universe is covered by the subtle forms of the material energies, and each covering is 10 times bigger than the previous covering, you know, the earth, water, fire, ether, abundant, mind, intelligence, and false ego. And so, no, it doesn't make it any easier. The only way to get out is bhakti mam abhijanati yavanyas chasmi tatvadahap. Through devotion, then one can actually transcend it immediately. It's not a question of physical proximity. It's a question of spiritual proximity. We're not interested in physical proximity. Not if you're close to the border. You can swim. I mean, just like, it's interesting, people swim across the border from Mexico, or sometimes called wetbacks. You know, because they swim across the border and they're all wet. But you can't do that. You can't swim across the Viraja River. And then they discover, I mean, sometimes people discover, like, illegal immigrants. So there's no illegal immigrants in the spiritual world. That you're in the spiritual world, and then Jai and Vijay discover you're there illegally. You can't get there. I mean, get there except for by devotion, love.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Good question. So, who else has a question or a comment? You can type or raise your hand. No one. Everyone's shy. Well, maybe we just end.
Sri Gurudev, I could ask a question.
Oh, Gurumayi, okay, sure.
It's so nice to have the classes back as well, Gurudev. I'm so happy to see you.
Thank you for joining us from the UK. It must be the middle of the night right now, 11
o'clock. Getting close to 11 o'clock, but worth staying up for. When we're speaking with people who are new to the bhakti process, it can sometimes be a bit difficult to explain why they should be seeking spiritual energy and not so much the material energy. As you're just sort of mentioning, the material being controlled by the material energy is like a dog. But how would you sort of say that to someone who's new? Because obviously that's quite an intense statement.
I wouldn't tell them they were like a dog.
No, I wasn't planning on that.
That would be politically incorrect. I said, you're just like a dog and sniffing at all the other dogs, and sniffing at the rear end of all the other dogs. I mean, that would be pretty heavy. The way I explain it is, we all want to be free, right? Right now, the material energy, we're controlled by the modes of nature. We're like puppets or marionettes, depending on your whatever you like. We're like marionettes or puppets that are controlled by this energy. And I want freedom. You know, freedom is actually something desirable. For example, if you're in jail and they're forcing you to act in a certain way, even if you have, like, all sorts of amenities, for example, in the American prison system, Some of the prisons, they have swimming pools. Some of them have tennis courts. And, a lot of, it's sort of fun to be in prison. But you're not free. You can't do whatever you want. You can't go wherever you want. Your time is actually constrained. So if you explain that to people, yes, you're not really free to do what you want to do. You're constrained by the rules of this material energy, which are the three modes of nature. And then if they happen to have seen the Matrix movie, at least the first Matrix movie, I explain it in terms of a simulation, what's called the simulation hypothesis, where we're constrained by the rules of the video game that we're in, or the simulation we're in, and we're meant to actually become free, like, anyway, maybe you know what I'm talking about, like Neo. probably don't know what I'm talking about. Anyway, but most of the young people nowadays, they've seen this movie, The Matrix. It's actually one of the most popular movies. But I explain it like a video game. You can only act within the constraints of the programming. So when you actually leave it, you actually become more free. So we want freedom, and there's a relief to being free, to leaving prison, to making your own decisions in life, to be able to go wherever you want. And this freedom is obtainable. Actually, probably even mentions the regulative principles of freedom. Because when we follow the regulative principles, at least no meat, fish, eggs, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling. Of course, the hardest one for people is the illicit sex one. That's really hard for people, young people in the United States, and I'm sure young people in the UK. And of course, in the UK, probably the hardest one is no pubs. And if you go to a pub, then just order some mineral water. So I just explained it's free. You're not controlled. Let's say if you go into the pub, you're drinking. You're controlled by that drinking. An alcoholic is controlled. You're addicted. Right now you're addicted. Do you want to get out of your addiction? So these are simple ways that I explain it to people. But I don't talk about the dog thing. That's just for the devotees. You're a dog.
That was such a nice... Thank you, Gurudev.
Yeah, that would be really heavy. You're just like a hog, dog, camera, and ass. just like, oh my God. And for those of you who don't know, Karuna Maya, she's doing a lot of preaching. I don't want to use the word preaching, but reaching out and interacting with the youth in the UK, doing all these like wonderful programs, the Kirtan programs, and she's very, very popular there, along with all those other devotees like Genevieve Harrison and others who are have these amazing programs in the UK, which we need to do in the United States. We could actually do in the United States too, if we actually weren't so conservative here in the United States. Anyway, we have become less conservative and more into reaching out to people. Because Lord Chaitanya's movement is not based on a bunch of rituals. Lord Chaitanya's movement is based upon getting people to chant. If people can chant, hearing the holy name from advanced pure devotees, their consciousness becomes changed. And I've seen that, with different people we've brought to different places and they're exposed to the chanting, and they're conscious, they wake up. Somehow or other. It takes some time, but they wake up after some time. Okay, one more question, and then we have to go. Nice being online again. No other questions. Okay, so we'll see everybody tomorrow evening or tomorrow morning, depending on where you are, tomorrow middle of the night, depending where you are. I guess that's it. All glories to His Divine Grace. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai.